Hey guys, I wonder, have you ever had any questions or reservations about Jesus? Maybe you like the sound of him, but there's a few things you're just not 100% sure. Or even about Christianity. Maybe you've had a few questions about Christianity you're not quite sure about, and you're sort of, oh, I like the sound of it, but I'm not sure whether I can commit to it or not. Maybe you feel that way, or maybe you know someone who does feel that way. The reality is, most people who watch this video, I'm guessing most people in the world, are actually quite good, you know, care about other people, will help other people, give to charity. Just try our best to be good. Maybe you pay your taxes, you even social distance and wear a mask, caring about other people. You do all that stuff just to show that you're a decent human being. And today I want to look at a conversation between Jesus and a guy like that, a guy called Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Now, don't worry, I'm not calling you a Pharisee in case you're insulted by that. But Pharisees in those days, they were people who tried to follow God. They did their best to follow God. They wanted to do things right. They wanted to be good people. And their way of reaching God and getting to God was through being good, was through being holy, following all the rules. So they'd make rules to follow rules to follow rules because they wanted to impress God. And if you didn't agree with them or you didn't follow the rules, they would look down on you and just say you were the worst person ever. A little bit like a lot of people do on social media nowadays. You know, when you disagree with someone and they think you're awful. The Pharisees thought that about everybody. But underneath it all, actually, they were genuine people who were trying to make a difference. And like many of us, Nicodemus approached Jesus from this particular worldview. It was his perspective. His perspective was the way you got to God was by being good, by following the rules of the rules of the rules. Okay, and that was his way. And I suddenly thought, you know, Nicodemus is like us because we all approach Jesus in different ways. We all approach Jesus from different backgrounds. Now, he approached Jesus from a Pharisaical background. You may be approaching Jesus today from a scientific background, from an agnostic background, from a compassionate background, from an atheist background, from a Hindu background or a Muslim background, or I haven't got a clue background. And we all approach Jesus with a lot of backgrounds. And I remember when I was younger, all the picture books I used to look at Jesus, he was this white guy. And I'm now more I know about Jesus and realize that Jesus wasn't actually a white guy. He was a Middle Eastern guy. But for so many years, we approach Jesus, especially in Europe, or those of us European descent, as a white guy, because we approach Jesus from our background, from the way we viewed the world. And like Nicodemus, our backgrounds determine how we approach Jesus. And he came up to Jesus and he started to speak to him. And this conversation that Jesus had with him completely turned Nicodemus' worldview upside down and his life upside down. And when Nicodemus comes up to Jesus, if you want to follow the passage, by the way, it's John chapter 3. And he's like, Jesus, you're really great. I love you. Clearly, you're doing amazing miracles. You must be sent from God. And he just sort of this real compliment. And then Jesus just suddenly cuts through all the fluff. You know, when someone's got small talk and someone just gets straight to the point, Jesus just goes straight to the small talk, straight to the fluff, straight to the point. And he says these words. He says, I tell you the truth. Unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, a text sort of talks about here, and Nicodemus being taken back, a bit shocked. It's like, what? What's happening? And it reminds me of the film, sort of hits me there, when with Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men, when the truth, you can't handle the truth. And sort of impression I get from Jesus in this moment. Because for this educated guy, Nicodemus, this religious guy, this guy who had spent years studying the scriptures, studying about God, he can't get his head around what Jesus says. And Jesus says, you've got to be born again. He's like, what are you talking about, Jesus? I haven't got a clue. His understanding was very different to Jesus's. And Nicodemus's first reaction was, born again? Does that mean I have to climb back into my mother's womb? I'll tell you what, I don't think any mum would appreciate that, okay? But that was Nicodemus's understanding. It was just physical world, what was right in front of him. And Nicodemus, like I shared before, was just approaching Jesus from the way he saw the world, not the way that Jesus saw the world. You know, when we approach Jesus from our own perspective, we sometimes miss what he's trying to say. But thankfully, Jesus has more patience. And he goes on to say these words. He says, I assure you, No one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born of water and spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, and the Holy Spirit give birth to a spiritual life. Now, in these few words that Jesus goes on to say to Nicodemus, they're really deep. And actually, Jesus reveals a really deep spiritual truth here. You know, we were created to be spiritual beings as well as, physical beings. I'm going to say that again. We were created to be spiritual beings as well as physical beings. You know, often we just get stuck in the mindset of we just see what we see and look at just what we've experienced and that's it. And that sort of summarizes our world. We don't look beyond that. We struggle to perceive anything beyond our limited understanding and our limited experiences. We just focus on the physical and think the physical and the spiritual are identical and completely together, but they're slightly different. You know, Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician and philosopher, he said these famous words. He said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. You know, this conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, Jesus gets straight to the point. If I was to paraphrase this conversation, I would put it this way. And this way I thought about it. Nicodemus, I don't just want you to be like me. I want you to experience everything I have for you. I want you to know and experience the things of God for yourself. But the only way this is going to happen is by you being born again spiritually. I believe that's how Jesus would have said it if he's saying, maybe speaking today. And we live in this age, guys, of the most advanced technology, the best age. If we live in the West, especially live in England, at the moment, we probably live in the best time ever to have lived in human history. With the good healthcare and the technology and the financial certainty, all the different things that we have here. But we are still the most depressed and isolated people that have lived. You know, we can try different things to help us. We can try different things to fill that empty spiritual void in our lives that we're so desperate to fill. But the only way we're going to do it is by being born again. The only way we're going to do it is by challenging our background, challenging our worldview, and not looking through things through our background and our own worldview, but looking through them through the lens of Jesus. That means the only way we can do it is by completely relying on God. As Jesus says here, the Holy Spirit is the only one through whom we can be born again in the Spirit. It's only through God, the Holy Spirit, that it can happen. And all Nicodemus's teachings and understanding and hours that he'd spent learning about things, they couldn't help him to be spiritually reborn. They couldn't help him to no longer be spiritually dead. He had to rely completely on God. And Nicodemus was just like, how is this possible, Jesus? If there's nothing else this pandemic has taught us, it's this. It's us humans, we're limited. I know it'd be great we pulled the vaccine off and some great, clever scientists, but actually we still haven't managed to halt it. Viruses have changed. We're out of control. We're so used to controlling so much and suddenly there's something outside of our control takes over. We don't know what to do. We realize how limited, how insignificant, how a tiny little microscopic virus can cause so much damage. You know, we need to learn that we can't fully rely on ourselves. We have to depend on God. You know, we need to look beyond ourselves. This means learning, and I'm going to reemphasize this again, to drop our preconceived ideas. To drop the ideas of how we think Jesus should do things, how we think God should do things, and actually trust that the creator of the universe knows exactly how things should be done. And the only way we're going to do that, receive eternal life, is by saying, God, I can't do it in my own strength. Everything I've learned in the past is not going to help me. The only thing that can help me be born again is through you. Now, eternal life that is spoken about here, it's not just after we die. So often people think about like a security check, like a life insurance. When you die, you're going to go to heaven. It's life now. Jesus says in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life to the full. And when you become a Christian, when you are spiritually born, you are, every part of you is alive. Your spiritual side, your emotional side, your physical side. You get to experience the life that God promised you and wants for you. It's not just about after we die. And Nicodemus, he hears Jesus say all this stuff and he's just like taken aback. He can't quite grasp it. And he leaves. And John, who was writing this account, then adds this on afterwards. He says this. John 3, verse 16 to 18, famous passages. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe and stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You know, Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to show us a way. He came to help us to be spiritually reborn through what he did on the cross. I love how a scholar, Andrea Kostenberger, phrases it. It says, God gave his one-of-a-kind Son. It's not like just a physical Son. Like, it's a bit more complicated than that. And we've got a video online somewhere on the website. Check it out. But God gave himself. He gave of himself so that we could have a relationship with him. You know, so we can be forgiven, so that we don't have to suffer the consequences for our mess-ups and our sin. But we have suspicions. We have, like Nicodemus, we have suspicions that Nicodemus became a Christian later on. You know, we're not 100% sure what happened, but there's sort of like texts that point to an educated rich guy in Jerusalem called Nicodemus, who was a strong Christian. But we don't exactly know if that was this Nicodemus or someone else. But obviously, you know, had this conversation had an effect on Nicodemus. But in the same way, Nicodemus had to face the reality, had to face the truth that Jesus said about being spiritually reborn. We have to do the same thing. We have to face that truth. You know, we have to make the choice. Are we going to choose to follow Jesus or not? You know, Jesus, God our Creator in a human form, he came with no agenda except for you to know him, for you to have a relationship with God, for you to be born again. Will you choose to drop your preconceived ideas and find out more about Jesus? Take a risk on him. Step out in faith. And I want to finish with these amazing words from Colossians. I talk about the rewards of following Jesus, and it says this. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released a supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as a sin payment on your behalf, so that you would not dwell in his presence, so that you would dwell in his presence. Get that right. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Guys, the only way we're going to know that is through Jesus, is by being spiritually born again. I want this in my life, and I know that you certainly do. And I want to encourage you today to make the choice to follow Jesus. At least if you don't make the choice to be 100% follower of Jesus today, at least make the choice to investigate his message more. He wasn't just a good guy. He was the Son of God who came to earth. And for those of you who are already Christians, guys, I want to encourage you, don't let your preconceived ideas affect the way that you see Jesus. Don't dismiss what he has to say because of your ideas. Guys, I pray you have a brilliant day. We'd love you to connect in with us somehow, whether in our building when it's reopened or online. Go to our website, bursum.org.uk, to find out more about how you can connect with us. But we pray that you have a good day. And if you want to find out more about following Jesus, send us a message and we'll get back to you. Have a brilliant day.